Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Seed in Society podcast. It is your host, Makeda, your chief action officer, and I am so hype, so excited, so ready for this guest, y'all. We have Lisa Sakai. She is a financial consultant who works with clients on, get this, bucket list acceleration. What?
Curious about owning land, growing your own food, or building income that doesn't depend on you showing up every day? That's what I'm doing, and this is where I share exactly how. Welcome to Seed in Society. I'm Makeda Boehm, an AI strategist, homesteader, and tech sales leader turning paychecks into lasting multi-million dollar wealth. I use automation, food-producing land, and digital income streams to build real assets and long-term freedom for my family and help others do the same. If you're done trading time for survival and want to build on your own terms, you're in the right place.
So she helps people get to the life they want now. So we know she's in the right place. And as the co-founder of One Vision Retirement, she's been working with clients across the country for over 14 years. And Lisa's advice is easy to understand, baby steps that people can take action on right away. So thank you so much for coming on the Seed in Society podcast. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I love it. I already love the energy, so I'm ready to go.
Awesome. So let's kind of get into it. Let's hear a bit about you first.
Hey, well, I've been, like you said, I've been doing this for over 14 years. I work with people. I mean, I'm a financial advisor. I call myself a consultant because I feel like there's a lot of misunderstandings of what we do in our world. But I have found that people are always planning for things and not taking action on them, like a bucket list idea, or thinking too small, or thinking unfocused. And by helping them become more focused on what they truly want, instead of all the things that are getting in the way of everything, then they actually get to live the life they truly want, rather than it being filled with stuff and experiences that they don't really want. You know, I mean, I was having clients who, like, every vacation was like going to see family, which is totally fine. Obviously, I love family. I think that's great. But you know, they weren't experiencing anything that they wanted. And then when you get to quote unquote retirement, which I can get into that in a second, you know, then they were like, they had this huge bucket list of things that they didn't even know where to start. They didn't know if they wanted to do any of that stuff. And it made retirement so much more expensive, A, but B, so much more overwhelming and almost stressful for people. So I just believe that there's a balance in life. You know, it's about preparing yourself, getting things done that you want to get done in your life now, but also being prepared in the future. And that will make you so much more conscious of your money, so much more conscious of your experiences and what you truly want in life, so that when you hit that, you know, financial freedom part, you know what you want, rather than like just trying to figure it out then.
You are in the right place. This is exactly the kind of message that sovereign-minded, that parents building careers and companies need. I see that so much. A lot of times people don't even know why they're trying to hit these arbitrary milestones that don't even resonate with what it is that they actually want. It's what society told them that they should want. And it keeps them in the hamster wheel. I don't know. I mean, we haven't talked much about it, but that is exactly why I'm out here on 10 acres, mortgage free, in a town with no stoplights. Yes, like these are genuine conversations for the audience. Like, I hear about people's stories and I'm like, I love to have you on. And we don't overly research each other before because it's a true conversation. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I got into tech sales, and last year I made close to $500,000.
Good for you. Wow.
And I didn't go, oh, let me go upgrade to the newest, shiniest thing, or let me go get this crazy mortgage so that I have to continuously do this thing again and again and again. It was, how can I set up true financial freedom so that I can retire as soon as humanly possible for me? And retirement for me means doing the things that I want, not working, but spending my time only on the things that I truly get enjoyment or impact or passion from.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful.
That's exactly what I talk about all the time. All the time. It's about making the right choices for you, not letting society tell you what you should want or do. And, you know, people always say, well, what's that like golden egg that I don't know about that will get me to what I want? That doesn't exist, unfortunately. I wish it did. It doesn't. And it's about just consciously making the right choices that fit for you with your big picture. And you hit it on the head when I said, well, we could talk about retirement kind of later, in terms of retirement doesn't mean you have to stop working. You have to be, you know, sitting at home watching TV, you know, Wheel of Fortune or whatever is on, what's one that's on during the day, you know, the one with Drew Carey. Anyhow, like, you don't have to do that. That's not what retirement looks like. Retirement really is financial freedom. It's financial independence. It's doing what you want, when you want, being able to get rid of certain clients you don't like anymore. If you're a business owner, it's being able to take off, you know, at noon if you want to spend time with your kids. It's being able to work from anywhere if travel is your thing. That's what financial freedom is. And what that is for everybody is totally different. For some people, it is, you know, being able to just, like I was talking on a different podcast, and she travels all over. She's this amazing entrepreneur. She's a dentist. She does all this stuff. She talks everywhere. She's like, retirement for me is sitting out there having a beer and cooking on my grill. That was what she wants because she does all this stuff all the time. For other people, it's traveling. It's, you know, quitting that corporate job that you can't stand anymore. It's making a transition to something different, maybe taking a different job at your actual place of work that you want to do differently. It's going back to school. It's whatever that is. But I think the thing is, we get so distracted, especially with social media and these things that I feel like are out there. I mean, this gets a little dark, but are out there trying to drag you down in some respects. And I think if you can just stay focused on what you truly want, these outside things like good debt versus bad debt and all this stuff that I feel like are mindsets that trap people in some respects, you know? So the fact that you're mortgage free, I'm mortgage free too. I think that's amazing. You know, I think
it's a club. We should start a club.
We should, the mortgage free club.
The mortgage free club. No, seriously. Yeah. I love what you're saying. I was so excited for this conversation. Yeah. I know that because the second I came across you, I was like, she has to be on Seed in Society. This is exactly what we talk about. Mm-hmm. I feel like what you're getting to is authenticity.
Yeah.
That when you have true resource freedom, yes, it's financial freedom, but financial freedom, and we talk about that a lot here, like finances, money is a tool.
For me,
it's never the end destination. It's what gets me to whatever I'm hoping for. And a lot of times it's time freedom. It's the ability to be your authentic self without worrying that it's going to affect your survival,
mm-hmm.
whether that's wearing my natural hair as I do now, right? Like for years in corporate, I didn't feel comfortable doing that. And there's studies that talk about it. Like I don't wear makeup 97.9% of the time. It's very rare that I do now. And there's studies that talk about that women's finances suffer if you don't wear makeup, if your hair doesn't look a certain way,
yeah.
if you don't dress a certain way. And having a daughter, especially, and also my son, it became super important for me to make sure that I am making choices because I actually like it, because I actually believe in it, as opposed to I'm doing this because I need to take care of you, or I need to stay hireable, or I need to prove my worth. And it's funny because as I've become more authentically me, I feel like my work has gotten better. I feel like my impact has expanded. And to your point, that's why we started a homestead out here. It's why we started homeschooling while our kids are young, and I do work from home. But it still is a very conscious decision not to do daycare. It's a privileged one, like from resources. But I talk about here often how I've been on my own since 16. I got my GED. I've been homeless. Understanding just kind of the other side of society in a lot of ways, I feel like I have an imperative to be more authentic because I understand when you don't have the resources to play the game, society kind of forgets about you in a lot of ways. So now when you have like the resources and the ability to make an impact, I think representation is important. Showing people this is possible for you. Here goes to mortgage-free women.
I love it.
So it's like this isn't a myth. And like you said, I feel like I deleted all my social media in 2020, except for LinkedIn. And I only used it to apply to jobs.
I love
and
that.
And now I'm back on social media, and it's very easy to see just kind of how people are manipulated by an algorithm.
Totally. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I could totally.
And you have to very consciously curate your feed to make sure that it's feeding you the stuff and the information that will help you and grow you and not get caught in the web of whatever it wants you to think.
I totally think so. And I was doing a YouTube video. It's obviously not up. I got to get it approved and everything. But I was talking about some of the social media, you know, people portray on social media what they want you to think of them rather than what they are necessarily. And sometimes they're aligned. I mean, sometimes that person who's talking about how they can make you wealthy standing on the beach is being authentic, but probably not. You know, they're probably went out there, did that video, and they're not going on vacation, you know, 50 times a year or whatever. They're using that to lure you in, saying, if you take my course on how to get wealthy, this is what you could do, is you could be on your own private island for blah, blah, blah. And we have to remember that you're getting images of people at their best all the time, which is not always a bad thing. But at the same time, you know, you see your friends at concerts and having these nice dinners out, and but they're not showing the 99.9% of the time that they're sitting at home in their PJs reading a book, you know, because that's not glamorous, right? I like it, but, you know, it's not really what people portray on social media. And I think we get caught in the web of feeling like you can't live, if you're not living large, like lots of money, lots of this, lots of that, that you're not successful. And that's not true. You know, you can definitely not have stuff. You can definitely wear a t-shirt and, you know, jeans and whatever, and still be that. There's a whole book called The Millionaire Next Door, that there might be a guy that's right next door to you that's a millionaire or multimillionaire. You don't even know.
I actually had another certified financial planner who was one of my first guests who talks about it as well. Mm-hmm. And I talk about it how I live in a town, like I said, with no stoplights, with a population like under 4,000, but there's millionaires and a billionaire who live here. Mm-hmm. And they literally look just like everybody else.
Yep.
Right. Like, and that is what really kind of taught me about that, because it's like you're still going to wear your work boots. You're still out here taking care of your rental properties.
Yeah.
You know, you have a nice truck, right? Like, most people don't realize that most pickup trucks are more money than a lot of Mercedes.
Expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, they're expensive, but they're also functional.
Yeah,
it especially has for a function sure. beyond looking nice. But I'm also completely okay with people who, if that is what genuinely makes you happy, if that is what it is that you want, I'm 1,000,000% on board with that. I think that everyone could be, and if they truly want it to be, should be millionaires. Mm-hmm. I truly believe in abundance. And I think that your point is interesting, because I'm a course buyer. I'm a person who likes going in, and it's become new, where I look at certain marketing, I look at things, and it's helped me go exponentially up. And I've also seen some courses where I'm like, this doesn't sit right. I think, and this, I believe it's like Myron Golden who says this, but I believe it so emphatically because I'm in sales, I'm in tech sales, and I truly believe in sales. I think that everything is selling, whether you're convincing your child to eat broccoli or asking your husband to go see this movie or giving someone information that can help them move their lives ahead. Mm-hmm. And I actually love course culture. I don't know if that's a term. If it's not, I just made it. But I love course culture because I am a learner. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who used to sell to higher education institutions, I think it's really interesting that a lot of times, a lot of this information was very gatekept. And yeah. you had to go to these prestigious institutions or to these accredited institutions to get access to this knowledge. And I think it's so cool now that we have this mechanism to be able to teach people right where they are, to teach people from your screen. Like, mm-hmm. even this podcast is a teaching mechanism, right? And also, to your point, I feel like that's why I say I feel like people are manipulated by the algorithm. Yeah. Because if you go on my feed, it's a whole bunch of people sitting in their PJs talking about how hard entrepreneurship is, how it's not always easy days, mm-hmm. how like the behind the scenes of doing this, the what the set looks like, setting it up. I think that when you feed it a certain thing about you, like, hey, if you show me this kind of content, someone getting their nails done, I'm not going to interact on your platform. And I feel like Mark Zuckerberg knows, because I permanently deleted my Facebook and my Instagram for years. I don't have a TikTok. It's very clear with how you feed it, what it's going to give you. Like, I'll even answer some of the ads because I've gotten so much great information through certain ads for the information I'm trying to find out. Like, what is a marketing funnel? How to do a podcast? What to do for your copy? I'm building a course now. I'm a keynote speaker as well. Just like, hey, what information do you have or transformation can you bring to someone? And it's like, for me, it's fast action. Mm-hmm. My whole life is a study in, I call it the connector method. So it's action creates evidence mm-hmm. or feedback, which is what creates confidence, which is what gets you results or your outcome.
100% right. 100%.
As it's developing, as I'm getting into this world, and I just think it's so important, and I come back to that term, to curate your experience, because yeah. life is literally what you allow in and where your energy goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what flows into yeah. your life. So, yeah.
It's so true.
Not to go
it
on
is,
a rant.
And it's about being conscious in your life. Just like I talk to people about being conscious of their spending, being conscious of where they're putting their money, being an active participant in your finances makes it so that your finances aren't so daunting and that they're not controlling you anymore. And I really feel like that's the same thing for the information you take in, the people you choose to surround yourself with, that all those things are just about being conscious in your life. Not being a walking kind of zombie that I feel like a lot of us have gone through in the past, just kind of doing what we're supposed to do, following the herd a little bit and taking some real action. It's true. I mean, it's totally true. And you know, I, like certain things, like I run a completely virtual practice. I started doing that because I was doing the traditional, like, you know, having either people come to the office, but I always felt weird about that because, you know, those offices are always kind of a stark, you know, kind of cold environment. So I would be driving around, and I was in Orange County, California at that point. I was driving around all day long, just driving around to people's homes. And that's so inefficient, first and foremost. And if you know anything about California, the traffic there is just to the next level. And so
yeah,
it was inefficient. It was soul sucking in some respects. It was expensive. It was everything, right? And once, you know, COVID was obviously a horrible time for a lot of people, but it was a time for me to be able to kind of reset my practice to set it up to be virtual. And by going virtual, A, my clients like it because I can get back to them super fast because I'm not in the car driving around. I'm not in the, you know, they can set up a call with me day of if they want to, which was not an option before. And the other thing was that they were relieved because they didn't have to clean their house up. I had a lady who was funny. She's like, "You only see this much of my house, and that's all that has to be cleaned up." I'm like, "That's true. You don't have to do like make it fancy for me to come, because people would see it as like a visitor coming almost."
Yeah,
but it was kind of revolutionary that I was talking about doing a full-time virtual practice that was not really done in our industry. I'm like, well, we're going to test it out and see. And then I picked up and moved to Arizona to A, do what we wanted to do, which was to have a house completely paid off, and B, not be in California traffic in Texas anymore.
Yeah.
And it's taking action. And that was, it's a big upheaval. I was a California native, you know, I grew up there. And to make that shift over to accomplish really the big goal, which was being able to have our house paid off and being able to save to the capacity that we wanted to save at because the taxes were so much lower. It just freed up everything. And that was scary, but I'm so glad we did it. And I agree with you, you have to take action sometimes, and it's scary action sometimes, but you do have to take that leap to make something happen for yourself.
1,000,000%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, if kids would just start earlier saving, you know, $50 a month or something like that, they would be. And I, you know, in some respects, I agree with that, because to somebody who's 45, let's say, making, you know, a couple $100,000 a year, we're like, $50 a month, what is that to you? That's a big chunk of change for somebody who's just starting out their career. Maybe they decided to skip college and go into this or do, that's a lot. That could be 3 hours of work, you know, a month. That's a huge amount of money. But that's their big action. Right? If they can accomplish saving $50 a month, getting an emergency fund put together, then starting to invest it in something that works for them, that is their big action. And I think we trivialize it a little bit with these younger people because that is scary to them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for them.
I completely get where you're coming from. As somebody who worked 3 jobs through college, who I've talked about it, had to figure out how to budget $1,000 or less a month for a long time. It is very hard when you get to a certain level of income or where you have access to a certain amount of capital to still kind of understand the value in a dollar or in $50, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you go to the supermarket.
God.
It's like, it's a world of difference now. I had a previous guest on recently who is all about money manifestation.
Mm.
Money is energy. It is currency. And I truly believe in that. And one thing he talked about was a lot of people try to manifest the solution by including the problem. And it was extremely interesting. And it's like, oh, you say money flow to you and then you see a penny and you dismiss it because it's not the $1 million you wanted.
Yeah.
Right? Like understanding those building blocks. And that was hugely transformational for me because it's very easy to see like the bigger amount that you want or access that you have and be like, oh, well, that doesn't matter. But every bit matters. And also just understanding like the situation that other people are in what it takes for them to be able to do something. Because I was working remotely before COVID. I went for a remote job in 2019 because I was pregnant with my daughter and I knew I wanted to nurse. Uh-huh. But I was an independent contractor technically for years because working remotely was such a boon to like have a position, even though I was technically like a full-time employee. I worked 8 to 4, 9 to 5. I was like, okay. But it was hugely transformational for me because then the world shut down and everyone else had to work from home. And that was already my norm at that point. I was able to be with my daughter. And even previous to that, I'd worked remotely with tutoring and I traveled a lot. I've lived in like 13 states. I've been to a lot of places. So when that happened and it became kind of the norm for everyone to see like how you could work from home, and I was able to get into tech, which I didn't even know what an account executive was. I didn't know what SaaS was. I just saw the job, the KPIs, the job description, and was like, I can do this. I know how to research. I know how to figure it out, and took that action, which changed my finances tremendously. But it's also this idea that's sad that like it took COVID for so many people to finally slow down. This wasn't super revolutionary for me and my husband. Like we'd talk about the hamster wheel and how, you know, like he's been a business owner for 15 years, just how this isn't like sustainable. I use that term a lot, and not just from an environmental perspective, but it's not sustainable to run yourself ragged. Exactly. And I may get heat for this, but I remember living on the West Coast, and I'm a Philly girl originally, which is also very expensive. Oh, Northeast is very expensive.
Why
I live in Tennessee with $500 in property taxes for 10 acres.
That's awesome.
Life-changing. Yeah, truly. Like, people are like, why do you live here? But I remember living on the West Coast, and the vibe that I got a lot of times was everyone was like doggy paddling, like underwater. Up above there, it's like, it's cool.
Duck on water analogy.
This
right?
is great. Wow. And literally just like, oh, we're trying to keep afloat because not sustainable.
It's not. It's so, you know, obviously I'm not going to get into politics or anything else, but it is so hard.
You're free to.
Yeah, I will.
I'm an independent, but I'm also a free thinker. I like to put it that way, where I don't go down the line with anything. I have my thoughts and my opinions, and I don't get into it if it's not necessary, but this is also a free conversation and a free place.
Exactly. No, I'm an independent too, so I'm exactly the same way. But it was getting to the point that you just feel like I can't do what I need to do to get out of that hamster wheel when you're in that situation. I totally agree with you. And when you're sitting there and you've got two people that are making a decent income, and you're still just, like you said, paddling along, just trying to make ends meet. And then, you know, a new thing gets added or a new this gets added and you don't feel like you're in control of your finances. That is it's life changing because you have to either just continue to do that, which is so stressful and so soul sucking in some respects, or you do have to make major change. And maybe that means moving out of a state that you grew up in, you know? Maybe it does. Yes. And I'm so happy we did. I mean, I love where we live now, but it is, you know, it is, the West Coast is very much like that. They want to have that like beachy, everything's great kind of feel, but it's very expensive on the West Coast, very expensive. And it is extremely competitive. And I do feel like, and I used to work in Hollywood, so I can speak to this. That was before, obviously, I did. But like, it's a very like image focused world out there. Doesn't mean it's bad or that everybody's bad, because they're not, but it is very image focused out there. And you've got to kind of be a certain way to fit in. And it was funny because I did my one, like, not one, but like my thing that I did that people were like, what are you doing? I drive a pickup truck as well. Yeah. I did it in Orange County and people are like, well, why are you driving a pickup truck? You know, you're supposed to get a Mercedes. You're supposed to, you're finance. You're supposed to exude money. I said, well, my pickup costs plenty of money. And I like it. I like having the ability to sit up. I like, you know, I didn't need it for, you know, the utility of it necessarily, yeah. But my husband drove a pickup and I liked it. I was like, well, I'm going to get a pickup. And I remember I got so much like heat from people like, why are you driving this? But you know, what's funny is my clients, which, you know, is my wonderful clients, would come out and look at it and be like, you're driving a pickup? I'm like, yeah. And they loved it because it was me rather than like some like image, you know? So I do think, yeah, I do think it's, you might get heat for that comment, but I think you're 100% right on that.
I don't care if I get heat. Yeah. Because I think it's true universally. I just think that the East Coast, and that's what I noticed even when I got back home in Philly, like the East Coast is very much more in your face. Like people like to call us rude, but I like to call it real. And sometimes it's rude, but it's like you aren't like kind of dressing things up. It's like it's gritty, it's crowded, it's expensive. No one in New York is going to say it's not expensive. Oh, even God. The richest people in New York will say this is expensive. And yeah, I think the same thing. Like we, of course, would love to be in Philly at first. Like that's where we wanted to move back to. That's where my husband's studio is. That's where our friends are. That's where our family is largely. And now I think with time and space and just seeing like quality of life and also like having children, you have to get real with yourself. It's like, yeah. Is this actually what I wanted? Or because now it's like financially, it's somewhat of a possibility. Before, we would see like a house being $300,000 or $400,000, and it might as well have been $400 million. Like it just felt so out of reach, so impossible. And now it's like I don't necessarily feel like that, but I also understand that thinking six figures is enough to be able to retire into the sunset, and by that, again, have time freedom, have the freedom to do whatever you want, kind of when you want it, is a myth. Yeah. And I kind of started seeding society off of that. Like, of course, I do feel like I'm very blessed and I have access to stuff, but it's absolutely not, hey, I'm done. I had a good year. Like, it's like, no, there's even just us going to the grocery store. Like, I am vegan. I actually have alpha gal, so I'm allergic to mammals and dairy, which because people love to berate vegans. And it's like some of us actually will go into anaphylactic shock if we eat red meat or cheese. So, but it literally became a thing of you go to the supermarket, you want to buy foods without glyphosate. We want to buy organic, non-GMO foods because I have developing children and I don't know what those chemicals do long term. And you have to make the choice between the 80-cent cucumber or the $3.50 cucumber. And you're, every time we're a family of four, you go to the supermarket, it's at least a $300, $400 bill.
Yeah.
And that's not accessible for most people. So it's like you're making this choice of, hey, I have a little bit more control of what went into this food versus, like, I can only take what I can afford. And that's why we started growing a lot of our food. That's why I started the homestead. That's why I started homeschooling, because I don't know what's in the school lunches. I don't like to outsource. I don't like to really outsource a lot of things, but absolutely not like taking care of my children. So that kind of like led to a lot of the stuff that I chose to do. And I really think it's important what you said, and I've said this often, that I rather be rich than just look rich. Be happy than just look happy. And I feel like a lot of times, especially because we do, and you were in Hollywood, we live in the TV world, we live in, back to your regularly scheduled programming, where we idolize something as needing to look a certain way. Rather than feel a certain way. And that's why I think the connector method is so important, because when you take fast action and you get that quick feedback, you're able to be like, oh, this actually isn't even what I want to do. Instead of waiting like another degree, another 6 years, another, I thought about this for so long. I made it so big in my head. I looked forward to it for so long. And then you finally do it. And because you made it such this big thing in your head and you took forever thinking about it, you now feel like you can't pivot from it. You can't, and you don't give in the sunk cost theory. It's like, no, I'm like attached to this outcome now, even if it's not authentically.
Exactly.
What you actually want.
I totally
Everyone saw it. I posted it on Facebook. I said I was going to do this thing. What will they think of me? And it's like, I challenge people all the time. Like, what will you think of you?
Yeah, that's the most
important. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, exactly. I think that is 100% right. It's so true, because I think the thing, and that goes back to that bucket list idea, right? It's not just about like, you know, I want to buy a Corvette or I want to, you know, whatever it is. It's having these very defined goals that can change because it's based off of what you want and not based off of other things. People what they want, you know, it's based off of what you want to accomplish. And I think that when we get to, you know, I kind of started the bucket list planning because I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, I say, so what do we want to do in retirement? What do we want? You know, what are the big dreams, goals, things like that? You know, I'd rather start with that than like what keeps you up at night. I mean, I can get to that point, but let's talk about the positive stuff first. And excuse me, when we, go through that, I noticed that people had these very generic ideas of what they wanted, like travel, be with family, you know, and this very, and those are all lovely. But then when I'd start to say things like, where are we going traveling? What's the first country? They don't know. They have not thought about what that first country is going to be, or where they're going to go, or why they want to go there, or what do they want to do there. They don't know. And I think it's because we let ourselves kind of go through and not be consciously aware of what we want. And I really think things would be better if we were consciously aware. And I hate to say it, focusing a little bit more about us and what we want, rather than who cares what that person thinks of you, who cares what that person said. Just focus on yourself a little bit You know, you want to be good to other people. Yeah. Be good to other people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Not saying don't be nice to other people. But if you would just focus on bettering yourself, caring what you think, and maybe your spouse or, you know, the people that you really care about, you should really, there's a gentleman. Have you ever heard of Morgan Housel before?
No.
You'd like him a lot, actually. And he's got some really good books out there, but he is a financial journalist. I really like him because he's gotten into the psychology. Actually, the book is with his first book is called The Psychology of Money. And it's so fascinating. And he was saying, I've heard him say it a couple times in different podcasts of, you know, I have my family, my parents, my, you know, siblings, that kind of stuff. And then maybe a couple of friends. That's all I care about on that they love me and that they think well of me. He goes, I really could care less about other people and what they think of me. And he has a very unique way of dealing with finances, talking about financial freedom. They too don't just have some like, you know, they don't just keep going up the ladder to buy bigger and better houses. He got slammed for saying that people should buy their house outright, you know, for that peace of mind element that nobody talks about. Of course, he had like 50 people sending him like 50, probably 50 million people sending him stuff about like, oh, but the interest rate and you can do. He's like, you can show me every spreadsheet in the book. There's nothing that tells me that I don't feel secure that my house is paid off, that this is mine. And he's right. He's right. There is something to be said about that. And there's a reason that Dave Ramsey, although I don't necessarily always agree with what he says or with some of his stuff, there is a reason that he is trying to get people out of debt quickly and buying a house and getting out of that debt quickly. There's something about that mindset of having control over things and focusing on yourself, because that's what that does. When you get yourself out of debt, when you get yourself in a position that you have your homes paid off, you have some savings, you're focused on you and bettering yourself, both financially, educationally, spiritually, whatever that is, things would be so much better.
Yes.
And that's what the bucket list planning is really focusing on what you want, not what other people are telling you you should want.
And I love that. I love that concept of bucket list acceleration. You said so many gems that people really need to listen to, because I say this often, like, worry about yourself. If you want to change the world, change yourself.
Yes.
I think a lot of times this thing that people need to police and they need to monitor and they need to moderate what other people are doing is a direct reflection of the lack of control you have in your own life. Because I talk often about how I think everything is just a different point on a circular spectrum. The only hard line that I can think of, and I've thought of this a lot, the only hard line I have is harm to children. That is absolutely intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, I feel like if it's consenting adults, go do what you want to do. I feel like if it is your life and you're not harming anybody because you like this, I don't know, comic book, or you like this movie, or you like fly fishing, I don't care. Like, go live your life. And if you have a different way of seeing life that makes you happy to wake up and you are kind and joyful and that is all you're giving into the life, I don't care if you don't pray the same way that I do.
Exactly.
I just genuinely think that if people, because, and then even when you were saying it was like, I know it sounds horrible, but like, worry about yourself. Like, we have turned the word self-conscious, like being conscious of self, into something negative.
Yeah.
And I don't think it is. I think if people had more self-awareness and more consciousness about themselves, then they'd stop trying to control everything else instead of actually taking that time to reflect on what it is that they want out of life. And this is something, this is work that I do very consciously because I do not want to project what I think my children should want onto them.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of like being kind, you know, knowing that they're loved. It's like, if you don't want to do dance, you don't need to do dance. If you want to be a singer or if you want to be a doctor, I will cheer for both equally. As long as you are actually trying to find your purpose and living in your purpose and being kind, I will be proud of you just the same as if you were a NASA astronaut.
Yeah.
And that's a really big thing for me because I come from an immigrant family, or I grew up with my immigrant side of my family, Jamaican American. And I remember when I would go to college and I decided to do African American studies in sociology, switched my major 5 times, started with business. Then I'm going to do philosophy. And then I did that. A lot of times it was like, why aren't you doing engineering? I was like, are you going to take my engineering classes?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to sit there and then have to do this job for however long? Like, I loved undergrad. I often say I would have paid $1 million for that. I got a degree in me. And I also get to have the last laugh in a lot of ways, because when people said, what job are you going to get with that? I say, if I didn't go back to work tomorrow, I've already made over 200K this year. So take that for the people who like to hate on the College of Liberal Arts.
Yes.
But not to be petty, it really is about authenticity. And I just think that the system is working as is. Because if you're staying on a hamster wheel and you don't have security and you know that if you can't work for 3 or 4 months, your house will get repossessed, you'll lose everything. It's really hard to come from a sense of peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think even deeper is when you get to the level of peace where it's like, even if I lost all of this tomorrow, I did it before.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it again.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people feel skeptical of some of these people who are selling or who do courses,
mm-hmm.
because they can't imagine it. But I'm a person who has sold 10 million in software. Like, I know that people have budgets and can pay. Like, this is my favorite thing to do, course math. I don't think I've done it on here, but 1,000 people giving you $1,000 is $1 million.
Yes, it is.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, but it's not easy. But I say that because it's not really that difficult. Like, you have a skill, you have information, you've made some type of transformation in your life, and you can help other people make it in theirs. That will absolutely get you to 6 figures, 7 figures, even 8 figures if you systematize it well. And it's not that inaccessible. It's just a lot of people are a lot more comfortable mm-hmm. with clocking in and clocking out. And there's nothing wrong with that. I say that very clearly. I think that the security of a job, I still work full time. I think that there's something to be said for that as well. But it's just not that inaccessible if you take fast action and you actually go in your path, because the safe route is very crowded because everyone else is on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you, I don't like traffic.
No, I don't like traffic at all. I couldn't say it better. I think that that's 100% true. And I think people just need to take their own route in life, whether that's higher education, whether it's, you know, digging the best ditch in the world and building up a business from that, whether it's, you know, I think it's just, you know, people have to go their own path on things, and people shouldn't be ashamed of saying, you know, no, I kind of want to, you know, like the biggest one I get a lot of times is people will save money for their retirement. And then I say, you know, are we leaving anything to the kids? And they say, is it wrong that I don't want to, that I want to spend all my money? I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're teaching your kids and they're growing and they're doing their thing, there is nothing selfish about using the money that you've saved for your future. There's just not. And, you know, if you want to leave it all to them, great. If you don't, that's fine. You know, I think they're always worried that people are judging them on the decision that is right for them. And, you know, I get, you know, I don't have kids. I chose not to have kids. And I tend to work with some women who don't have kids just because it's, you know, a unique profile. And, you know, a lot of them feel like, you know, did I, you know, am I going to be judged because I didn't have kids, you know, or some, I don't know why this is happening, but some people in the non-kid pool are judging people for having kids. And it's just do what's right for you.
What's right for you.
It's just crazy. It's just, I don't know. I think doing what's right for you and thinking about, you know, I deal obviously with people with their money issues, but just in general, I just noticed that there is a little bit of an insecurity that people think that they're going to get judged for how they spend their money or what they, you know, as long as they're not doing anything illegal, obviously, or anything like that, you're allowed to spend your money how you want to. That's your choice because you spent the time and the effort building the money. And so if people want to use that money to take a million courses that are going to make them better, I have zero problem with that. And, you know, and there's just ways to do it so that you can continue. That's the thing is, I think people think, well, if I do that, I need to be financially savvy so that I don't. It's really just about, I always say, live and enjoy the life you have now, but continue to take care of you in the future. That's the thing that I think people don't, you know, because there's this whole like YOLO thing, like you only live once. So just spend all your money and don't worry about it. In some respects, I feel like that's not taking care of yourself for the future. Like I always write in my journal, like taking care of my 110-year-old Lisa, you know, like that's, you've got to also think about like, am I going to be able to continue doing this? Am I going to be self-sufficient? Am I going to be able to continue? Because you don't want to get to freedom and then not have it in 5 years. That's awful. That I can't even imagine what it would feel like, you know? And so you want to continue to keep building and growing yourself and your ideas and yeah, you know, your money too, you know? And that's the thing is, I think people, like you said at the beginning, people get to financial freedom and then they're like, oh, that's good. You know, we get to this point and it's done. It's really not done. I mean, I talk to retirees a lot and they will say, well, now that I'm retired, we take no risk on the money. I'm like, you got 30 years in retirement. Like that's a whole other lifetime you can't just take all your money and put it under the mattress. That's not going to, your money still has to accumulate on itself. Maybe it accumulates slower, but it still has to be building. Just like people in retirement still want to be building on themselves, bettering themselves, doing community work or whatever that ends up being. Traveling the world, learning things. I don't, you know, whatever that is for them. But it's always an ongoing process. There's never an end. And there's always shifts in your vision of what you think is going to happen in your life. It's never a linear process. It's never exactly what people think it's going to be.
Yeah. I think you touched on so many important things there. I think the travel thing is funny because I've been to like over 15 countries. And I actually talk about this in my keynote speeches where it's like the fast action, because it's like I could have waited forever to go to Paris. And then when I went and I saw, you know, like dog poop a lot of places, that could have been more, it could have been a bigger deal than it was when it's like, oh, the Louvre is also beautiful and it's also still a city. Like there's gonna be the two things, or like going to Amsterdam with $300 in my pocket and having the time of my life, and how it just would be like everything is a different experience because it's a reflection of where you are. And this waiting and building things up to be bigger than they are, I've just seen so many times in life where it's like just do the thing.
Yeah, just do it.
Have the experience, and then you know if you even like it or not, and if you want to do it again. But the other thing that was interesting is I love that you have this self drive for, like you said, like thinking about what this will do for the 110-year-old Lisa. For me, I don't, and this is, I feel like for a lot of parents, but I could be projecting, right? Like, it's, I think it's so different for everyone. As somebody who didn't grow up with either of my parents, I know that you don't just get this gene to do the right things for your children. And I was a teacher for years in Philadelphia. So I also, like, I know having students who do not have running water and don't have electricity, and it's one of those things that, where for me, I feel like even to an extent, it's a slight trauma response where it's like, I have a trust for my children. I have life insurance. Like, they can live here forever. We're building them tiny homes. They're homeowners before kindergarten or during kindergarten. Like, we actually have a tiny home being dropped this week and recording some of that content. But it literally, for me, is like my why. Because before, it was just like, whatever. Like, I am this person. I don't have any kids. And I didn't always make the best decisions, especially financially. But I think it's really important, too, because a lot of times it's not easy to make those decisions if you've never seen them modeled.
Exactly.
If you're trying to create, just like you're trying to create a good marriage if you've never seen one, or you're trying to be
or
a great parent.
Or just trying to copy what you, sometimes that doesn't fit, right? You can see somebody who does something a certain way and it's wonderful for them. It just doesn't fit for you. So I agree with that. If you've not seen it,
or everyone's different.
Exactly.
Yeah. Having like so many multiple perspectives is super important in anything, especially when you're talking about something as, you know, ubiquitous as money, because it controls so many things that we do. And I think that a lot of times, like you said, people are so worried about judgment. And I know my audience is going to roll their eyes because I say the Dr. Seuss quote like almost every time: those who mind don't matter, those who matter don't mind. My daughter literally rolls her eyes. She says, oh, you're saying that again, mommy. But it's like, I know that I've said it so much that it's going to click for her one day. And someone's going to say something she doesn't like, or they're going to say something mean to her, and she's going to hear my voice in her head going, those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. Like, your vibe attracts your tribe. You find your people, and you can find who's in harmony with you. Mm-hmm. And just because I love thinking of it from this perspective, I don't hate anybody who wants to put money in their 401k. I don't hate you if you want to go get a mortgage. I'm also a fan of strategic debt as well. I talk about that a lot, like being able to leverage it. We leverage strategic debt to be able to then own our home outright in sweat equity. I think that everybody takes a different path to whatever destination, but life is always about the journey, right? Yep. Like, you never arrive. All you have is the present, but you can also optimize and think about the future. And there's like a recent episode I have talking about that as well. It's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And even earlier, you kind of said the thing where people talk about the golden rule. Oh my goodness, my husband gets so tired of me with this, because I think the golden rule is awful. Treat people the way you want to be treated. People are not like you. I'm a person who is kind of tough on myself. I've been tough on myself for a long time, and I had to learn to be kinder to myself so I could be kinder to my children.
Interesting.
A lot of things, I've had to learn a lot of this stuff because it's like, well, what do I want to pass on to them?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to do what you do, not what you say.
Exactly. Yeah,
and it's forced me, as somebody who wasn't super responsible on my own for all intents and purposes. Some people would be like, well, you still got a degree and you graduated 10% of your class and you were a teacher and you're doing all these things like on paper. But I know for me that it was because I felt like I had to hit these milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was a person who went by like things on paper, then I wouldn't live the life that I live now. Like like me and my husband, like on paper, doesn't make sense. He has like 100 tattoos. He, you know, is in music, and I'm like super like businessy in some ways, but he's also like a US veteran. He's the kindest person I know. He's the most responsible person I know. He's also the most popular person I know. At least 150 people will tell you how great he is. But if you just like decided, hey, I'm going to judge a book by its cover, you wouldn't even be able to get there. Or we got married pretty quickly. We moved really fast. We eloped. Because I started to plan the wedding and I was like, hold on, why am I throwing a party for everyone else?
Yeah.
When we don't own a home yet. So we decided to own a home instead of going into debt for cool Facebook pictures. And I don't judge anyone who wanted the dream wedding and wanted the gown. Like, I don't even wear a wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's like on a necklace somewhere. And it's like, and if he would have spent, what do they say, like a month and a half of salary or two salary, I would have like gone and sold it right away. I would have been like, I'm going to go buy a car with this. But that's where it comes like for also like finding your tribe, finding your people who think similarly to you, but also we're also very different. Listen to different music. We're different races. Like, well, ethnicities. I won't go down the whole thing about like phenotypes and all of those things, but it literally is this idea that when you decide to get deeper, like I don't want to use the term like shallow, but I'm not like a, hey, how's the weather type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I can count my friends on one hand. I like want to know you and I like want you to know me. And if I can't be like, for some people, intense. And I own that. But if we can't get to the crux of some things, it's almost like, well, like, why? Like why are we even, even
I
doing
get
this?
That. Totally.
Yeah. But I do want to ask, what can someone do to get started? If somebody is trying to build their bucket list acceleration, they're thinking about retirement, where if you had nothing today, or you were starting from zero, what advice would you give to someone, whether they're in their 20s or their 50s? Because there's a lot of people who are in their 50s who
are
starting over, 60s or even 70s. Like, what would you say to them?
I think the first thing that I would do, and this sounds, people are not going to understand why I'm saying this, but it's true. Look at your credit card statements. And the reason that I say that is it's so easy to mindlessly pay them off, mindlessly spend, you know, because it's so easy with that piece of plastic or online spending or whatever. The more conscious you are of what you're spending your money on, the better off you're going to be in the long run. Because you are in control of what you're spending your money on. And you get to make the decision, like, is that $100 purchase worth it or not? And it's okay if you decide that it's worth it. But we go through kind of our finances in this like vacuum almost, like we just don't think about it. And just having the app. So I always tell people to spend, you know, 10 minutes a week just looking at what you spent your money on. First and foremost, you should do that anyhow because there's so much fraud that's out there and people don't even realize that somebody's taking their credit card or something because they don't look at their credit card statements. So somebody might be stealing from you and you don't even know. Okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing is it just is 10 minutes that you are focusing on what you spend your money on and deciding, am I good with that? Or maybe that was something I shouldn't do. And then keep that, it starts that mindset of controlling what you spend your money on. That's the first thing I would do is just even for a month, just 10 minutes, Thursday morning, having your cup of coffee or whatever that thing is to ground you. That's where I would start.
That is amazing advice. That is why I started a homestead. We sat there Last year, we got into a lot of credit card debt. And for me, that was a big deal because until I married my husband, like, and I talk about this sometimes, and I'll probably do an episode on it. Tell me, respond to me, write to me at hello@seedandsociety.com if you want to hear about it. But I talk about when I married my husband, my credit score was in the 400s. And he said he didn't even know it got that low. I saw your eyes, Lisa. I saw you like, what? Whoa. Now I'm in the mid to high 700s. However, he didn't even know it got that low. And he was in the 800s.
That's why I got the eye look.
Yeah. That's why I got the eye. But I know so many people who, like, you know, when you don't even have the option to pay, right? Like, I was super fortunate. I had got my first credit card when I was 13. Like, something came in the mail and I filled it out and I got it and I didn't make the payment. So I was not able to get a single credit card in college. And I am so thankful for that. So thankful. Because then we got married and he made me like an authorized user and I didn't know. It was like my first time being able to purchase something if I didn't have the cash, which sounds like a great thing, but it literally has started Seed in Society. It is why I got into tech, because we had like, it was like $8,000 from our first like Christmas with my daughter. This was like 2020. Yeah, like 2020, 2021. And it was just like, how? And then we, as you get it, you get lifestyle creep, you go up. I remember at one point we were at like $50,000 in credit card debt. And it was like, holy crap, that is a salary. If I stay in this job or if I take this one, there's no way like we get out of this. Like it just will be a hamster wheel. And that got me into tech sales because I was like, I need to make a lot more money a lot quicker. I didn't go to med school, so I can't be a doctor. In the next year, I was pre-law, but I did not go to law school. So, okay, I have to rule that out. And that sent me on a journey. Again, that fast action, because I was not willing to stop everything, aggressively save just to pay this off and not like have a life. So my reaction to a lot of things always is make more money. And I tend to be really good at it because I believe that it exists. And for me to go from 2019 with commission, because I was in scientific sales, I maybe made like $48,000 that year.
Yeah.
2024, 500K. This year, already over 200K. Like it literally was this willingness to bet on myself and to take that action. And to be like, well, I see that people have businesses, small business owners who are generating $3, 4, 5 million a year. I still remember having a six-figure month and looking in your bank account and seeing $150,000 from commission being deposited. And then I remember the next month I lost my mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was last year. And realizing that I was a workaholic, that even though I worked from home, I still wasn't really present with my children, that we were supposed to go on a cruise. I finally was taking a week off in that September. She passed in that July. We talked about it up to the day before she died. She was so excited. And it completely made me reimagine like exactly what is actually important. And what matters.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is how I'm here now, because I just feel like a lot of times people think it's not possible, or these are extraordinary results, or this is out of the ordinary. Yes, it's not the average. However, it is extremely possible. Yeah. It's extremely accessible. You can absolutely do it if you're willing to already like tell yourself I can take that action and I can do it. And I'm doing it in parallel. But I love this conversation. What changed it for me is I sat down and was like, if I lose my job and we, because my husband's like more so of the default parent in a lot of ways. If I lose my job and we don't have income coming in for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, what would happen?
Yeah.
And I'm a person who has filled out 1,000 job applications to get that job.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a person who did all the interviews, who really went above. Like, I don't take it for granted at all. Like, nothing has come super easily to me. It was a lot of work, a lot of hustle, like a lot just knowing like it has to. I feel like a lot of times, like, being uncomfortable forces you to rise to the occasion. Adversity truly builds character. I didn't have the option, same thing in college, to go sleep on my parents' couch if it didn't work out. So I had to get it done.
Yeah.
I would remember, like, all of me and my friends, we'd go out or whatever, have fun. And then afterwards, I'm studying. And the end of the semester, I'm like, oh, I made dean's list. And they're like, I'm on academic probation. And I'm like, how'd that happen? I thought everyone just wasn't sleeping like me. Like me. I just thought,
no, it's true.
We all were like, it's this totally has to true. Happen.
Well, you said it perfectly. It's, things are simple. They're not easy, though.
And it's not easy. It's why I started this, too. And I have these conversations around money, because I realize that I need to fix something. If I can make, before taxes, I have to always say that. Like, I had like 6 figures in taxes last year. And I'm in a state that doesn't charge income taxes.
Yeah, it's
but
so expensive.
I was like, if I can make this and just still be like, it's not enough. Then I clearly, I still truly believe that, but I also believe that something in me has to change as well. And like you said, I looked at my statement and what are we spending it on? And a lot of it is food. Just so we grow some of it now. And tuition and really just like children expenses.
Oh, yeah.
Diapers and children's snacks and non-GMO things and organic and karate and ballet and just all the things. Children are expensive. So I judge no one who does not want to have children. And I judge no one who's doing the best they can when they do have children.
Oh,
I think, like you said, exactly, it is a personal decision.
Yeah. And so that's exactly why I think taking a look and being conscious of what you're spending on puts you in the driver's seat of saying, I want to spend it or I don't want to spend it. And because we're so unconsciously spending money, a lot of times we don't even realize we're spending money on certain things, you know, gym memberships, you know, those small little things add up. And we don't even realize we're spending, you know, I saw a video, I think it was for one of those, you know, apps that help you get out memberships. And they're like, you know, you have 4 Netflix accounts. And she's like, I do. And I bet you, I mean, I know that was an ad, but I bet you people do have multiples of the same, you know, type of membership or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy how much people are spending on things because they see it as $20 here. They're, oh, it's only $20. It's only, but the more conscientious you get, you realize that $20 adds up a lot and then you get tired of seeing it. You're like, that gym membership, I never go. I use my stuff here or I do a YouTube video or whatever. It starts to annoy you. Like, you start looking and you're like, that is annoying that I am paying that every month. Then you get mad and then you take action, which is, I'm not paying that anymore. And you stop paying it.
Exactly.
You go and actually print out their stupid form or whatever to get rid of the gym membership. That's what that does, is it just shifts your mindset on what you're going to tolerate, you know, because we do get kind of taken advantage by the, oh, sign up here, it's only $5 a month. It's only set. We get sucked into that stuff, which is all marketing. And you know, you if you want to keep it, great, but if you don't, then you don't have to, because you're aware of what you're spending your money on. So that's my one starting point for a lot of people.
Exactly. And I think this is going to be very helpful for people going into the holiday season.
Yeah.
I have decided to not give in to the holiday seasons. Of course, we still, because my husband really loves Christmas. I'm like, okay, we won't just have the kids, like, we won't be grumps, but we definitely have decided to, like, pare down a lot. It's like, you have more than enough clothes. You have, like, these kids can open a toy store. It is crazy. We're just like, I, like, last Valentine's Day, I got, like, a water bottle. I gave him, like, I don't know, it was something, like, very inexpensive. We've decided that, like, we love each other every day. We show these children love every day through the stuff that we do.
Yeah.
Lisa, thank you for now being my longest podcast episode. Where can people find you? How can they interact with you? How can they get help from you?
Probably my YouTube channel, which I'm happy to give you the link for. So people,
it'll be in the show notes.
Yes. So people can go and find information, education. I try to make them interesting rather than talking about the same old stuff all the time. And, you know, and then you can find how to contact me from there. But I think that's the best place to go get some more education.
Awesome. It was such a pleasure having you on. This was such an important conversation. Again, if you take nothing else from this, take away, like, what is it that you want? And it's not usually a quick answer. This takes some work. It takes some reflection. It takes deep thought. It also takes some work to get out of group mime, to think about what is it that you want versus what did the algorithm tell you you want? What did Instagram or TikTok or whatever viral thing or whatever emotionally charged thing that's hijacking you from actually sitting down and thinking, this is what I actually think. And it may not be popular. It may not resonate with your friend group or whatever, but at least being real with yourself allows you to start moving more authentically in the world. So take action, as always, and get the results in the life of your dreams. Thanks for joining us.
Well, perfect.
I appreciate your time. I did not mean for it to go so long.
No, it's okay. When you're talking about money, it's really about freedom. And people, you know, it gets people emotional in many different ways, which I like. So.
Absolutely.